Welcome to the Dental Business Guide podcast. From money to marketing to management, this podcast will help you run a better dental business.
Hello, everybody. Today now, this is Aaron from the Dental Business Guide podcast. And today I'm delighted to say we're joined by Simon Gambold. And hi, Simon, how are you?
Morning, Aaron. Very well, thank you. Yeah, pleased to be here.
Yeah, great. Great to have you today. Now, Simon's got a wealth of experience in the dental world. I don't say how many years, but I'm sure he's going to tell you in a minute. And he's held very senior roles at Henry Schein here in Europe and the UK. And now he's very busy coaching and helping clients with their leadership strategy. So, Simon, give us a bit of a background about yourself.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, I've spent 25 years plus in the dental industry now. My background was business and marketing. And quite early on in my career, I realized that building and leading teams was what I was passionate about. And when I sort of almost stumbled upon the dental industry, 25 years ago, I also realized I love working with dental teams and that the passion of people who want to improve oral health and support their communities. So after a couple of decades with Henry Schein in leadership roles, I decided to stop flying around all the time, flying around Europe, and set up my own coaching business, engagethe.team.co.uk, which is really about adapting leadership skills to suit dental practice owners and dentists generally, how to improve their leadership skills, how to engage their teams to produce outstanding patient experiences and long-term sustainable growth for their practices. And I have a number of clients I've been coaching and doing some webinars, and I'm really enjoying it.
Fantastic. So now, obviously, we're in a changing times, as they say. I wouldn't say difficult times, but they're definitely challenging and changing times. Why is leadership so important in these times?
Well, it's a fantastic opportunity, really, for leaders, and leadership as a skill set. It's something we never seem to find time to do, but right now is a perfect time because our teams really need us, and teams look to their leaders for guidance, for reassurance, for clarity. And many of us have learned in our practices providing consistent, clear communication both to our team and our patients is critical. If we don't communicate, they'll step into the vacuum and make up their own story. Sure. And people get very anxious. So a key role now for leaders is to be clear and consistent and reassure people. And, some of the teams I work with, very strong teams, very proactive, work together really well, came back from the first lockdown. And there were all sorts of challenges around childcare and mental health, and people were unsure. And a lot of practice owners who thought their team would just fall back in together working well found that actually there were issues and challenges. And we're seeing that in the lockdown now. So it's more important than ever that we practice good leadership skills, and the opportunity to improve the performance of the team and, as a result, the patient experience is there if we spend time on developing our leadership skills.
Sure. And I guess in this environment, as you said, leadership is paramount now, and we've seen various styles of leaderships by various governments out there, some better than others, okay, but it's still those same principles still apply to an individual running a business. Am I right in saying that?
That's right, yes, and that's a very good way to look at leadership and the results of leadership. Different leadership styles from different leaders around the world. Some are empathetic and sympathetic. Others are very much, brusque and there's no problem. Sort it out for yourselves kind of thing. So we can take those parallels when we look at our teams. Mm-hmm. And, being a leader is about influencing people in a direction. It's the art and science of influencing people in a particular direction. But as leaders, what we're trying to do is help our teams be more successful. Okay. And the opportunity for us is to support them, understand their concerns, look for their ideas, help them with the resources they need, and give them permission. And that's about engaging with our teams. So it's all about talking to our teams, engaging with them, and helping them be successful.
And there's the phrase out there, leaders, are they born or can they be taught, I guess? So what's your view on this type of situation or this type of?
That's one of the first questions I usually get, which is, you're either born a leader or you're not. And of course, I say, no, that's not the case. And I'm an example, I think, of someone who, by just practicing techniques and sheer hard work, you know, you can master most things, and leadership can be mastered, but you need a lot of practice. And I liken it to, you know, when you've come back from a clinical course on placing a new direct composite, you know, and you've done the technique and you go into practice with the first patient and you prepare the cavity and you etch it and you bond it and you place the composite and you layer it. And you do a very, very precise process, and you do it exactly the same way. And the second patient, you do it the same, and the third patient. And you don't come in on the second week and go, actually, I won't bother with the etching. I'll just put the bond and the composite in. You know, you don't come in the third week and go, actually, I'll just place the composite. And you don't do that because the failure rate will go up on the restoration. And leadership is like that. We have to have consistent behaviors and repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. And what we do and what we say is really important. And the more we do it, the more successful we'll be as leaders. So I think creating leadership behaviors that are consistent is really, really important. And it's just like practicing a new clinical skill. Sure. Very similar.
But if I had to just look at myself, okay, I've been in business almost 20 years, and I look at my leadership skills, what they were when I started out to what they are now. Now, I'm sure people will judge me differently, but if you talk to my team, but just looking at myself, I think I suppose I've practiced it by just doing it, as you said, okay? And you get better and better. And I think in my mind, the best leaders are the best listeners, okay? What would you say to that?
Yes, totally agree. Listening is really important. But practice alone doesn't work. You have to practice, reflect on what happened, then adapt. So how did that interaction go? What went well? What didn't go so well? What could I do differently next time? So by reflecting and learning, you improve your performance. But yes, listening is the key skill. So, you know, asking open-ended questions and listening to people's answer, that's the key thing.
Very true. So, okay, so I'm a dentist. I've got a dental practice. I'm busy in clinic every day. How are they going to practice this? What should they be doing? What is one thing they could do to improve their leadership skills?
The key thing for me, I think, and the first step for anybody is to have open, honest, one-to-one conversations with their team, to sit down with their team members and just talk to them and listen to what they say. Really listen, and that's how you find out what's going on in the practice. You find out what people's ambitions are, what their ideas are, what the obstacles are. And in many cases, you give them permission to do the things that they know need to be done. The big challenge when starting down this road is that, you know, dentists, like a lot of professionals, are the production engines of their business. You know, 5 days a week, dentists are practicing clinical dentistry. So when do they become leaders?
Yeah.
The problem with going on a leadership course is that most of them are designed for large organizations with full-time leaders. So when I was running Henry Schein UK, all I had to do, I mean, I had 650 people in 13 locations, but that's all I had to do. Okay. Now, when I spoke to the dentist last week who wants to retain me, and he said, well, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, I'm doing clinical dentistry. Now, running the practice, I fit in around that. And that's not, you know, that's a very tough place to start. So you need a leadership program that's designed for that kind of situation. So the program I put together is around, if you have 2 or 3 hours a week, half a day a week, you can put a leadership program together based on that time. Now, you should be spending 20%, you know, a day a week of your time, if you're a principal, on running the practice. If you're not, you're not going to be effective. But for many dentists, it's very challenging for them to put that much time aside. So there are a number of steps you can take around, you know, digitizing the processes in the practice, outsourcing some like finance, for example. You should outsource the finance. Sometimes it's appropriate to outsource the marketing. And then thirdly, delegating. A lot of what the principals do, they shouldn't be doing. And similarly, when they're billing clinical time, are they billing, you know, the top end cases, or are they billing time that isn't productive for them. So by adapting what they do, they can make those 2 or 3 hours a week and then use that time to start practicing those skills. And it all starts with having those conversations with their team.
Sure. So, okay. So a key learning point here is that if people haven't, is to sit down and arrange those conversations, whether it's virtually or in person, with their teams or individuals in their teams, and do that on a relatively regular basis. Correct?
Yes. And people are very nervous because they're nervous about what they're going to hear. Mm. But what I would say is it's worse not to hear it, because, you know, there's an elephant in the room, and just pretending it's not there is not going to help you long term. So you're better off having the conversation, finding out what the issue is. You don't have to answer that issue then and there. It's very important to listen, make notes, and say you'll come back to somebody. Mm. And it's important to go away and reflect on what you've heard. Talk to colleagues, find a mentor, another practice owner maybe who's more experienced. Talk through what you should do and then go back to the person. You know, sure. You don't have to solve the problems then and there. And a lot of people are nervous about having those conversations for that reason.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because earlier this week, I had a conversation with a team member, a really good team member of mine, and we were going down a certain route, okay, and perhaps I was blinded by my strategy, and he said to me, Aaron, I think we're doing the wrong thing here. We're doing it completely wrong. And he said, I hope you don't mind me saying that. I said, no, absolutely not. I do want you to say this. How am I supposed to know otherwise? Okay, that's why you're in the team, okay? So I listened to him, heard him out, talked about the issue to another team member, and now we've kind of changed tack as a result of that. And that goes back to the listening skills. That goes back to making people feel that they can be listened as well. I think that's a really important thing. I remember when I used to work in the corporate world in the city in investment banking, and the door was always closed. You weren't really, the boss was sitting in his room and the door was closed. It was never an open door policy. But I'd like to think the way I try and get people to engage in my team is to, the door is always open or virtually open, that they can pick up the phone, email me and tell me if they don't like something, or if they're unhappy with something, or they think we're doing something incorrectly. Okay. That's a very, very valid point. Okay. So you think that dentists have to find that time to really make the most of building a team and building a business, correct?
Yeah, there is an opportunity to be more productive, to deliver a better patient experience, a more fulfilling work environment, and, you know, sustainable long-term growth in the business. Now, that you don't have to do that. I mean, many practices have operated very successfully without doing that.
Yeah.
What we've seen with COVID is a step change in the profitability of practices, and many practices move from being in the black to being break even or in the red. And you know, there's an extra requirement now for principals to be aware of that and to tap into this potential of their teams. You know, what you said just now was really interesting. It's very typical for us to formulate a strategy, then go and excitedly present it to our team. Mm. You know, and of course the team are like, oh, hang on a minute. And what I coach people to do is to involve the team in creating the strategy, get their ideas and input. Of course, they're buying into the solution. And not everybody will agree with everything, clearly, but by involving them in that process, when the strategy is rolled out, they own it. Mm. They'll take responsibility for delivering it. But yes, you're right. You need to have that open mind. And that is that open door policy can only work if you're trusted as a leader. Mm. And, you know, the best way to be trusted is, in my experience, is to be open and honest with people.
Sure. So
I like to create stories. I mean, I don't make them up. These are real stories about my experience where I've got something wrong. Mm. I'll tell people about that.
Yeah.
And it creates trust. So when my doors open and people come in, they really feel they can talk to me. But it's all about how you react. If you're really, really busy and you're waiting, you're thinking about the next patient and the treatment plan and an issue in the practice, and somebody walks in to see you and they see all that stress on your face, they're going to go, oh, I won't do that again. Mm. One of the techniques I taught myself, because I saw that in people's faces sometimes when I was interrupted, because I had an open door policy at Shine, and people would come in and I could see on their face, they read my impatience. Before I looked up from my desk, I would compose my face, relax, smile, and look up at them and say, oh, hello, how can I help you? To try and convey that I was focused on them and I wanted to hear it.
Yeah, 100%.
those techniques, if you practice them, they become you.
Okay. So
for example, when someone says, how are you? I started to say, I'm very well. Unless I was not feeling well, in which case I wouldn't say that. But if I felt okay, I'd say, I'm very well. And after a while, you do start to feel really well. And yeah. It lifts your spirit and it lifts other people.
Well, the language someone uses is so important, isn't it? Language is everything that conveys the story of who you are to others, but also to yourself. So the more you have that positive message going out, the more positive you will feel, for sure. So I totally agree with you. Yeah. Totally agree with you. So, okay. So now, obviously we're talking about people who might be owning practices. What about the people who might be associates or team members? Why is this all relevant? Why is this relevant to these guys?
Well, that's a good question. I originally designed my program for practice owners, but as I spoke to dentists, I realized, and some dentists told me, actually, one of the first groups I spoke to was said to me, you know, you shouldn't just limit this to practice owners. And I thought about that and realized, of course, that all dentists are leaders in the surgery. Mm. Whether the team with them reports them or not, they are leaders. And in fact, the team look to the dentist. So in a practice, when something happens or there's a problem, the team will look to the dentist. What do I do? And whether they say what do I do or not, they're looking to the dentist. So all dentists have an opportunity to play that role more effectively. And of course, many dentists do want to go on to practice ownership anyway. So
sure,
it's worth making. But it's a good skill to have in life. And you know, dental care professionals as well can be leaders. You know, a dental nurse can take a leadership role in a particular aspect of a practice. But I didn't want to spread myself too widely, so I wanted to focus on dentists. There's another coach I work with, and she trains practice managers.
Okay.
But I wanted to focus in on dentists.
Okay, fantastic. So now, where would someone who wants to develop their leadership skills, how should they take this forward? Where do they start?
So I think looking for a coach, a mentor, someone who can guide you. And I said earlier, you know, the classic leadership courses are not really suited to what practice owners are looking for. There are people like me out there providing bespoke programs. Mine is, I think, unique in that it focuses on team engagement. But finding a mentor, someone you respect who maybe has run a or a dental group you're part of can provide you with some ideas. Okay. But the key thing is to start those conversations with your team and to step out of your comfort zone. Mm. Have those conversations, try new ideas, try things out, and you will make mistakes and things will go wrong, but that's how we learn.
Sure.
And people are very forgiving, and they also are looking for leadership. That's the other thing. People want to be led. People want to work in an environment where they understand what their contribution is, they trust their leader, and they are open to being told what to do if they feel they can trust you. And, you know, you may make a mistake, but your next interaction is what matters. And by the way, you know, whilst words are important, it's what we do that's the most important thing. We have to walk the talk.
Yeah, actions, as I say, speak louder than words, don't they? So you can talk it, but you have to actually follow through with it. How true, how very true. So on that note, then, the values of an organization are really important here, I guess, in terms of getting the message out to your team. How would someone go about creating those values or communicating those values of an organization to their team? Or is it something they would do together?
Well, you're right. Values are important. The whole culture of an organization flows from the values, which flow from the leadership. So it's how we behave, how we interact with each other and with our customers. I like to get teams together to agree the values. And you can decide on what your personal values are and just tell other people. But if you bring a team together, it's a great team building exercise. Get the team to work on how do they want to treat each other, how do they want to be treated, and then how do they want to treat patients. And people come up with a similar list of they want to be happy, professional, they want to have fun, they want to be they want to be honest and open. So the same things come up, but it's about the process of getting people to agree a set of words that they will live by. And these can then be used when you're talking out to your patients about what the practice will do. And, you know, they should be used in recruitment. It's really important that as you recruit people with a similar value set, and so they fit in well with the team. So it's an important part of that team engagement process, setting the values.
Yeah, very true. Okay, and I think, as you said earlier, I think it's so people want to be led. Okay, I look at people around me. Humans by virtue, I think, want to be led by somebody and shown the way. Not everyone is a leader, or perhaps not everyone wants to be a leader as well. And there are people who are followers, and they will follow, okay, those leaders, which is a really relevant point in business today, in the world today. So in summary, Simon, so in terms of how do people go about finding out about your training and your coaching and your courses, how do they do that?
Well, first of all, I've got a website, engagetheteam.co.uk, and I do webinars for various dental groups.
Sure.
BDA, Alpha Omega, Dental Tubules, and various other smaller groups. So I'm out there. Okay. But I think there are other people doing this, and it's important to reach out to people that you feel you can work with, whose values coincide with yours. And finding a mentor who's running a successful practice, who's doing it the way you want, is really key. Someone to help you reflect on what you're doing and bounce ideas off. And we've got to make the time to do this. You know, one of the key habits I like to do is to have a time each week when I reflect on the previous week and think about it, Monday morning or Friday night. How did the week go? What could I do differently? What am I going to do next week? And that's a 15-30 minute slot. But put it in your diary, blank that time out so no one can put an appointment in there.
Sure.
Make sure you do it and don't skip it. And those kind of disciplines will really advance your skills.
Fantastic. Well, that's really, really helpful though, Simon. So the leadership, as Simon's mentioned, as I totally believe, is absolutely paramount to success in business, not just financial success, but just to your team, your happiness, the people around you. I think it affects you in so many ways. And you can bring these skills that Simon's mentioned very briefly into not just your business, but your life. And I think that'll be the overarching benefit in any way. So if you want to know more, I think you can get hold of Simon at engagetheteam.co.uk. If you have any further questions, I'm sure he'd be delighted to help you. So thank you, Simon, today for your contribution to this podcast. And I look forward to you coming again soon on here again, perhaps talking about maybe about communication or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, I really appreciate the invitation and the time, Aaron. There is so much to talk about on this program.
Yeah.
I'm happy to come back whenever you want me to. So
brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Simon. Cheers.
Thanks for listening in to the Dental Business Guide podcast. We welcome your feedback. And if you're enjoying it, please let your friends know too. Until the next time on the Dental Business Guide podcast.